Hey, do we need anything else?
No, that should do it.
Okay. Place my order for paper towels, dog food, oh, and the book I have in my cart.
Can you confirm this order?
Yes, confirmed.
Order confirmed. Would you like delivery from 12 to 2 p.m. or 2 to 4 p.m.?
I think a lot of times as individuals who are shopping online, we take it for granted that we're going to click order and the package will show up at our house in 2 days. And we don't have a lot of visibility into all that it takes to get that package to us.
Welcome to The Future According to Now, a podcast from Atlantic Rethink, the branded content studio at The Atlantic, and Fidelity Investments. Technology holds so much potential. Some of it sounds really far-fetched, but some of it matters right now. This podcast explores groundbreaking innovations that hold real potential to change our lives in the foreseeable future, but not always in the ways you might imagine. In this episode, we'll explore a future where packages are delivered by drones and autonomous vehicles. To get there, technologists need to figure out how to overcome logistical hurdles in places with less robust or even non-existent delivery systems. We'll speak to the experts transforming the way we think about location and addresses, and we'll hear from Matt Molis, a Fidelity research analyst who focuses on logistics companies, about the solutions he's tracking. I'm your host, Vicky Virgolina. In both the U.S. and emerging markets, e-commerce is flourishing. Globally, online purchases accounted for about 10% of all retail sales in 2017. That figure is expected to reach almost 18% in 2021. But getting those orders from your last click online all the way to your front door is a delicate logistical puzzle, with that so-called last mile of delivery the most important and often the most complicated piece.
You can think about the population of the world is about 7.6 billion people. Approximately 85% of that population lives in emerging markets. And the penetration rate of e-commerce as a percent of overall retail sales is much smaller in emerging markets. So I think that helps frame the scope of the opportunity for sort of the underserved markets.
That's Matt Molis. As a Fidelity research analyst for logistics companies, he's had his eye on both U.S. and emerging markets.
In order for the delivery cost to be economically viable for the transportation provider, you need to have a proper addressing system, which is something that we take for granted here in the United States and other developed markets, but that is something that's not in place everywhere around the world.
Addresses actually don't work around the world very well at all. So the UN actually say that there's 4 billion people who live and just don't have an address because the government never gave them one in that country. So people are stuck and they're sort of having taxi apps and e-commerce booming in the country, yet people are still writing, you know, my house is fourth near the lamppost by a hedge onto the checkout page, and it's pretty awkward to actually try and find them.
That's Chris Sheldrick of What Three Words. As a former band tour manager trying to keep musicians from getting lost on the way to their gigs, Chris began giving them GPS coordinates. But he found the 9-number combinations were too long and frustrating, and still led bands to the wrong wedding location or stadium loading dock.
In a way, it makes sense because street addresses were made in like the 18th century to do a really different job. And we're now kind of trying to hack them backwards in the year 2018. It's kind of unsurprising that it doesn't work that well.
So he and his partner developed a solution. They mapped every 10 square foot space across the globe into a grid and assigned a singular 3-word combination from the dictionary to describe the location. Chris's recurring example, table, chair, spoon. The What Three Words app's seemingly simple mapping system has massive implications for a wide spectrum of uses, according to Fidelity's Matt Molis.
I think the solution that What Three Words has come up with is a very interesting solution and actually builds on a system that we've had in place for a long time, but that is less intuitive, namely longitude and latitude coordinates. But the idea that you can employ sort of 3-word combinations in order to more intuitively employ essentially a similar system is very interesting and could be very helpful.
What Three Words, Chris Sheldrick again.
That's anything from the Glastonbury Festival in the UK, who've got 200,000 people in a field who used us to coordinate movements around the site. We are working with drone companies. We're working with Mercedes-Benz. So actually very, very soon, you'll be able to get into a Mercedes. Just say to it, take me to table, chair, spoon, and it will then navigate you to that 10-foot square. That's it.
Looking beyond finding your friend in a crowd or even sharing your location with a rideshare driver, think of the implications for moving into an era of driverless cars and delivery by drones. The applications for this type of pinpoint location are boundless, both in the US and Europe, as well as in emerging markets.
We work with post services across a lot of the emerging markets, in Mongolia, in Ivory Coast, Djibouti, even Tonga. And a lot of these countries, they've looked at implementing traditional addresses.
But Chris says that process is painstaking and cost prohibitive. And what three words may eliminate the need for traditional addresses entirely? Arthur Erickson, the co-founder of Helio Drone Solutions, worked with What Three Words to bring fully autonomous drone delivery to scale in Costa Rica. He also finds it a smart logistics solution.
For a lot of our clients in Ghana and Costa Rica, they just, you know, adopted it because of its simplicity. And so we decided to alter our software to allow a client to tell us a What Three Words address or a PIN or GPS coordinate.
For example, in Mongolia, where What Three Words is really taking off, there's a lot of e-commerce boosted from people actually using a three-word address by several 100% for some of the e-commerce stores, because there's actually quite a lack of trust when people just put descriptions on how to get to their house.
Fidelity's Matt Mollis says it makes sense that parcel delivery might look very different than it does in developed markets like the United States.
Whether those packages are being delivered by drones or whether those packages are going to be picked up at intermediate locations by the shopper, those are all things that aren't necessarily parts of the model that we have in a developed market, but maybe part of the solution for an e-commerce market where the countries are more rural and where deliveries may be more difficult for infrastructure reasons.
Helio Drone Solutions co-founder Arthur Erickson has pioneered hardware, software, and transport innovations for drone-based delivery. From his operations headquarters in Texas, Arthur talked me through how the drones work and some of the inherent challenges in drone delivery.
Our drones know exactly where to go based on GPS coordinates. As far as challenges go, when actually delivering to a location like that, it's more physical. So since it's so new, a lot of the end users don't exactly know best practices when it comes to picking a right spot for a drone to make a delivery. So oftentimes they'll ignore clotheslines and overhanging branches, stuff like that.
Arthur's company builds drones that are user-facing, so the customer owns and operates them right out of the box. Though he's working on updating obstacle detection to make them fully autonomous, they're already in use in several countries.
So you're talking medicine, electronics, auto parts. Costa Rica, El Salvador, and Ghana are the countries we've operated in thus far. We're also expanding into Southeast Asia, Thailand, and eventually making our way to the developed world, Dubai and here in the United States, but that's more in the future.
Why is it that emerging market countries seem more inclined to give drones a shot for last mile deliveries?
Given that they're emerging markets, the infrastructure is usually very poor. And there's people that need medicine, lab samples, blood, EpiPens, AEDs, et cetera, et cetera. And in a lot of these situations, time is literally the difference between life and death. So a drone comes especially in handy in those cases.
We in the U.S. hear a lot of buzz about a future where Amazon drones drop packages on the doorstep and robotic mailmen and autonomous cars deliver our holiday gifts. But is this really an immediate likelihood in a heavily regulated roadway and airspace such as ours? Fidelity's Matt Mollis.
Autonomous technologies, we're sort of inclined to ask the same question you're asking. When are they going to be rolled out and when are we going to see them on the roads? It's much more feasible for a logistics company and a transportation company to employ that type of technology on their own private property because you don't have to navigate the same level of regulations. And you also have a little bit more predictability when it's a private logistics setting. You're not going to have pedestrians as an obstacle so much as the way you would on public roads.
Matt is already seeing traditional shipping companies deploy autonomous vehicles in some of their distribution centers.
It's an opportunity for repetitive tasks to be done using autonomous vehicles and therefore frees up the human capital and the ingenuity of the workers to focus on more high-value problems that need to be addressed. So I think there's absolutely an opportunity for autonomous vehicles to be used, particularly in a hub setting.
So while driverless cars and autonomous drones are just on the horizon, many logistics superstars are shaping these systems of tomorrow.
The delivery of a package can be an expensive proposition. And that's particularly true for e-commerce packages that are being delivered to residential addresses. So to the extent that parcel delivery companies can utilize autonomous vehicles in their hubs, that they can use big data to facilitate and improve the density of deliveries out on the roads, and to the extent that they can use emerging technologies like drones in order to better run their distribution hubs, those are important in order to solve the cost challenges that parcel delivery companies face with e-commerce packages.
As part of Matt's role at Fidelity, he does some on-site visits to some major shipping company hubs where both drones and autonomous vehicles are being used to automate tasks.
It's really essentially an amazing, well-choreographed ballet that happens day after day. That level of synchronization and network ability is actually very remarkable and something that speaks to the importance of logistics companies allowing us to execute the economic activity that really makes this country and the world function. And that's pretty fascinating and very powerful.
Next time, the 5G network is on the horizon. But beyond faster internet speeds, 5G promises to bring with it sweeping changes across every industry. And when connection delays are lowered, it will allow for the internet of skills to emerge and haptic technology to thrive.
The sense of touch was almost an afterthought, if thought of at all. That's clearly a gap in our technology, especially when you think about how important the sense of touch is to human life. It's central to our sense of what is most real. And so if you are wanting to create compelling illusions, compelling interfaces for people that can be deeply integrated into their lives, you really need to give them a sense of touch as a part of that.
On the next episode, Beyond the Internet of Things. The Future According to Now is a podcast from Fidelity Investments. To learn more or to get in touch, visit us at theatlantic.com/fidelitypodcast. You can listen on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Promotional content produced by Atlantic Rethink, the branded content studio at The Atlantic for Fidelity Investments, (Fidelity). Fidelity and Atlantic Rethink, the branded content studio at The Atlantic, are independent entities. The views and opinions expressed by the speakers are their own and do not necessarily represent the views of Fidelity or its affiliates. Information presented is for information purposes only and is not investment advice or an offer of any particular security. This information must not be relied upon in making any investment decision. Fidelity cannot be held responsible for any type of loss incurred by applying any of the information presented. These views must not be relied upon as an indication of trading intent of any Fidelity fund or Fidelity advisor. Fidelity and the Fidelity Investments and Pyramid Design logo are registered service marks of FMR LLC. Copyright 2018. FMR LLC. All rights reserved. Fidelity products and services are offered by Fidelity Brokerage Services LLC. Member NYSE, SIPC, 900 Salem Street, Smithfield, Rhode Island, 02917. 848-665.1.0.